Dear Cheap Astronomy, a Borg-like species seems technically and biologically feasible. How would we humans measure up against such a threat? The Borg were a collective of humanoids with lots of tech gear and tubes stuck into them. Their collective intelligence was maintained by some form of electromagnetic radiation, which could be actively blocked to isolate individuals. And they also sometimes returned to a docking station, presumably for maintenance, upgrades and updates, and probably also to be turned off and turned on again, which is now widely regarded across the universe as the best way to fix pretty much anything. Now, before we go too far with this, it's necessary to deal with the issue of the Borg Queen, introduced in the movie Star Trek: First Contact. While a useful plot device, assigning a leadership role to a single individual kind of undermines the whole Borg concept and leaves any Borg collective at huge risk of destruction, since, as ably demonstrated in First Contact, if you take out the Queen, you take out the collective. In reality, real colonies, like beehives, work nothing like that. If you take out the queen, the rest of the colony just keeps calm and carries on until a new queen is born, which is achieved by just picking out an embryo at random and feeding it royal jelly. So, in a real Borg scenario, individuals just don't matter, so taking out any one individual doesn't matter either. Whatever master plan a designated leader was pursuing would have already been distributed across the network, so if a leader falls, the next follower in line just picks up the baton and keeps going. So how would we humans stack up against the Borg? Well, here we are, dominating the Earth to the extent of adjusting the thermostat, while the poor old bees haven't even landed on the moon yet. So clearly our self-centred me-generation capitalist make-your-own-luck species just totally rule, right? Well, maybe we do, but that might be because we pretty much are Borg already. Firstly, consider just how indispensable human individuals really are. Of course, we all like to think we're indispensable, and generally we have family members ready to back us up on that. And there's no doubt some individuals really have changed the course of history, even though, for the most part, history was moving in that general direction anyway. If the Wright brothers hadn't flown, someone else would have done it soon after. And it's pretty likely we'd still have telescopes today, even if Hans Lippershey hadn't invented one first, and if Galileo hadn't been the first to point one at the night sky. And it's hard to believe that someone else wouldn't have figured out the whole speed of light limitation business if Einstein hadn't got there first. And if you're still not convinced, consider that over half of us are now wirelessly interconnected to each other, and lots of us have replacement parts, implants and gadgets embedded in our bodies, and most of us are at least educationally engineered from childhood to become specialised in different tasks and skills. And most of us seem pretty happy with the idea of dronehood, readily joining large groups that follow sports teams, mythical deities, or just well-known individuals who might look, sing or act well, even though such individuals have few qualities that are likely to be useful in taking over the galaxy. So, even without being injected with nanoprobes or having various tubes and implements attached, we human beings already operate a bit like a distributed neural network. If you take one individual out, it does not greatly disrupt forward progress. And we all have access to constant feeds of information, most of which is about sports and what the good-looking singers and actors are up to, but there is also information about treating diseases, educating the next generation, and building rocket engines. And that information is constantly being updated too. Many of us regularly return to docking stations, also known as couches, where we absorb information through visual and audio transmission and often replenish our energy supplies at the same time, and it's not unusual that we sometimes switch off and switch on again in those situations. And in those situations, resistance is futile.